So often, I meet with talented, educated, gifted, confident, and really often well-balanced clients who are shoulding on themselves every day. Shoulding, S-H-O-U-L-D. Today, I want to talk to you about how to end the tyranny of the shoulds in your life. What's the tyranny of the shoulds, you might ask? Well, a while back in the early 1900s, an early psychologist who studied under Sigmund Freud, named Karen Horne, came up with a theory called the tyranny of the shoulds. The basic premise of this theory was that we impose upon ourselves this tyrannical rule where every day of our lives, or very often throughout our lives, we're thinking in our minds how we should have done something differently. Truth being told, we can only do in that moment our very best with the resources and the tools that we have to work with. We couldn't do anything different because we didn't know to do anything different. Yeah, we know that logically, but on an energetic and emotional and psychological level, that's not what we believe. I've often heard it said that most people are doing the very best that they can at their current level of awareness. So have compassion on them and have compassion on yourself. Let's talk about the tyranny of the shoulds. You know, for example, you wake up in the morning. I should have woken up earlier. I should have set my alarm clock for a different time. Ugh, I overslept. I should have gone to bed earlier and got more rest. I shouldn't have eaten that the night before. I feel terrible. I should have chosen a different job, a different route to work, a different outfit that I wore for this day. Ugh, I should have waited to have children, or I should have started earlier. I should have dated someone different. I shouldn't have married her or him. Shoulds all day long. How do we end this tyranny? How do we begin to live in the moment and accept what is and where we are in that present moment? So there's three selves that are in constant battle with each other. That is the number one, ideal self, number two, despised self, and number three, actual self. The ideal self, the first that I mentioned, is the perfect Patty or perfect Patrick. It's the person that wakes up at sunrise, meditates, prays, stretches, goes for a run, comes back, makes your favorite smoothie or your favorite fresh juice. You're eating healthy, you're balancing your bank account. Your bank account is in a surplus. There's more money left at the end of the month than there is month in bills at the end of the money. Your relationships are flowing, you're networking. Life is good, you're content. But guess what? That perfect ideal self does not really exist, never has, and never will. Number two, the despised self. The despised self is the part of yourself that's that self-loathing, the parts of yourself that you cannot stand, the parts of yourself that get on your own nerves. So this is the person that often says, gosh, why I should have done that differently. I don't know why I get so angry. You know, I flew off in a fit. I told them off. I cussed them out. I threw something across the room. I should know better. Ugh, I can't stand when I do that. Why do I keep coming up negative in my bank account? Why do I keep waiting to put on these new lifestyle habits that I know that I want to do, running and eating a certain way or doing yoga or whatever it may be? Why can't I just reach out and connect to that person that I want to talk to and have a relationship with and ask for a date? Gosh, I can't stand that part of myself. That's the despised self. And then the third one is the actual self. The actual self is who you could actually become should you tap into that divine, pure potential that every person on this little pebble, this little rock that's floating through the sky that we call Earth has. We're all pure potential walking around. There's no babies that are born with hangups and attitudes and bitterness and predispositions towards negative behaviors. Those things are biopsychosocial. Those things are often more than not taken in by our environment, and those around us are reactions to things in our environment. So your actual self is if you would stop comparing yourself and criticizing yourself and competing against other people, scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, driving down the street and looking at other people and imagining that they must have a better life or have made better choices than you. The only person that you need to compete against is you. You are competing against the best version of yourself, the best version that you have ever been mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, socially. What is the best that you've ever been? That's what you're racing against. I remember in middle school, my mother would often say, put those horse blinders on. Because if you've ever watched a horse race, they can't look to the left or the right. They have those blinders on. And that's the way that we must become in our own lives. Pain is inevitable. Suffering becomes optional. So often we create a story for ourselves and a story for our life and a story for our relationship. And when life does not match that story, we suffer. We think that it's wrong, but just because it doesn't match doesn't mean it's wrong. Your body is made up of over 70% water. The earth is made up of over 70% water. When we are in water, oftentimes we don't drown because of the current itself, but it's because we're resisting the flow. So throughout your day, practice letting go of judgment of who you are and the way that your day is going. Practice letting go of resistance to what is coming to you and begin to go with the natural organic flow. Flow with that water. Imagine life being like water because your body is, because the earth is. And as you begin to go with that flow, you don't tire yourself from resisting. You may feel like you've wasted time, you've wasted decisions, but you know what? If you have evolved, if you have gained something, if you have learned something, nothing you have experienced and nothing that you have been through will be wasted. None of it's wasted. And none of us can choose or write our beginnings, but we can all choose to write a new ending. And we have that ability, that creative power every single day of our lives to get up and say, I'm going to write a new chapter. And it doesn't matter how many times you perceive that you have failed over and over again. It's never too late to get up that one more time. And consider this, maybe it's not failure, maybe it's feedback. Maybe it's feedback on small incremental adjustments that need to be made in your life, in your mindset, in your habits, in your behavior, in your choices, in your relationships. Small incremental adjustments to produce those larger results. After all, look at a door. If you're around a door right now, and the next time you see one, remember what J-Rock said. Big doors swing on small hinges. So it's those small adjustments in our life that make the most difference. So when you let go of this ideal self, number one, or this despised self, number two, and you begin to embrace the actual self, you can begin to live in harmony within yourself. You can live in congruence. You can live in contentment. You can begin to have self-compassion and empathy for your shame. As Brené Brown has said, empathy is a cure for shame. So compassion, self-compassion is a cure for shame. And what's amazing to me about this tyranny of the shoulds is that oftentimes we don't just have this tyranny of the shoulds with our individual selves. We have them with our coupleship as well. We have an ideal, a despised, and an actual coupleship, an idea perfect mate, an idea perfect relationship, an idea perfect family life in those relationships and our children. And then a despised mate, a despised relationship, a despised family life, despised version of our children. But what if we were to let that go and to embrace and accept the reality of what is, so we're not living so far ahead in the future and we're not looking so far back in the past that we can't be in the present moment? Stop shitting on yourself. Recognize when you're in this behavioral pattern, and maybe you won't stop it immediately, but you know what? If you raise awareness that you're even doing this, that you're even thinking in this way in your life and your relationships, it will make an incredible change. In therapy, one of our goals is to self-integrate and to reach a place of self-actualization. The idea of self-integration comes from this concept that there's parts of ourselves that are incongruent, that are not in alignment. So guess what? When you let go of and you decide that you're going to put to rest, you know, you may have to grieve over that process of this idea that you thought you would be. And once you go through those stages of grief and you get over and you not just get over, like, you know, flippantly, just sort of in the statement, people say get over it. But I mean, when you begin to move past the despised self and you put that to rest, and if you have to grieve over that process, and you can actually embrace